This next section is from the point of view of Arthur, who finds himself, after a few months, the only one of the group who is still out on tour. And just a couple of things to explain. It opens with him talking about the aid memoir for Herrick 9. So the aid memoir is sort of the pack of information that every soldier, every squaddie is given before they go out to Afghanistan. And actually, it's impressively honest. You know, it has this little potted history of Afghanistan. So as these guys are on the plane, you know, they can flick through this history and see that that actually the British Army has been there three times before and has had to withdraw three times before. And then they read that the Russians were there for 10 years and then had to withdraw. And so it's quite shocking to think of these 18 and 19-year-olds reading this as they're flying out. And Herrick 9, each tour is called a Herrick in Afghanistan. There's some Pashtun and Dari in here, and now normally I don't worry about my pronunciation, but for some reason in Cambridge it's the one town where I'm slightly worried that we're going to have fluent Pashtun and Dari speakers in the audience, so please forgive me now for this. There's this language card we got before we deployed, part of the aid memoir for Herrick 9. Mine's in a box now, up at my mum's, but if she ever dug it out, she'd see how those pages of Pashtun and Dari, illustrated with pictures, tell the story of our time out there, like a kid's cartoon book of modern warfare. Hello, salam, how are you? Chitor Astayan, I, Ma, you, Shuma, they, Una, do you need help? Kumak Ka Darian, stop or I'll shoot. Dreza Ya Zadaz Kawam, do you need water? Ayoka Darian, you are under arrest. Bandit Maikonum, man Saray, woman Zan, child Halak, human bomb in Sunny Bam. Where is the pain? Dad Cherry Day, blood Kun, dead Murray. Go home, Kana Buran, shot, wish delay. Go home, quarter Dazai, Pawa Yao. One at a time. One at a time. 5 months into our six-month tour, and I was on my own. Hads and Taff both gone, medevac to Bastion. Then, in a matter of hours, home. I was sure I was next, but I was wrong. Somehow my if never became when, at least not then. We lost others, a sniper's bullet, a roadside bomb. Our tour was becoming the worst so far, and then I left it, just like that, 2 weeks. R&R. We landed through cloud into Bryce, Afghan dust still on our boots, our packs. I flew in with a company of Marines back for good, or until they scratched that combat itch and volunteered again, like many would. They were quiet, tanned by the Afghan sun, a cautious look in their eyes as we waited with our trolleys around the baggage belt. Just like a regular airport, until you see the sign, weapon collection point. And in customs, a couple of wounded guys here to meet their mates, handing out plastic beakers of port, dressed in civvies, one prosthetic leg each, showing from under their football shorts. And then through the arrival doors, girls in high heels and dresses, made up for a Friday night, waiting red-eyed in the morning grey to see and hold their man again. Babies who'd never smelt their dad, kids holding painted sheets or flags, parents biting their nails, waiting, waiting for those doors to slide open and for the next to be him, their lad, safe at last and back. I hope they were. But I know I wasn't, no. I was still there, of course I was, worrying about the boys, seeing all sorts of shit when I closed my eyes. That's why Gwen didn't come. I told her I needed time. And as I shouldered my kit, walked past the spa with its real deal signs and two for ones, I knew I was right. Time to drag myself from there to here to come home proper from the war. You didn't even come to mine. When you got into town, I told you I had to see Mum. She was in a bad way. And me? Hadn't heard from you for weeks. And after seeing Hads with no legs and then the mess they made of Taff. Arthur, I've been worried sick for months. I know, babe, I know. And I'm sorry, but what's done is done. Yeah, I know. And now you're gone. Don't say that, Gwen. I'm here, ain't I, talking to you. It's not the same, Arthur. I hear you, it's true. I don't know. You were gone from the day you joined. I mean, remember what that was like? You coming back on R&R? Yeah, I do. I checked into a hotel outside Bry's, then laying on the bed till dawn, scared to close my eyes, then got the bus to Severn Beach first thing. When I got there, the place was empty, nothing. Severn Beach, end of the line, literally. Just the bridge disappearing towards Wales and the river wide as a sea, sluggish under it. Not even the fishermen yet, hooking their bait, casting their lines. Just the houses, all safe and sealed. Severn Beach, it's where I'm from since the age of one, but I may as well have been back in the field, on patrol or in some village back in Afghan. It all looks so strange, unreal. I let myself in, dropped my kit to the floor, then climbed the stairs, quiet, so as not to wake Mum. I opened the door to my bedroom, footy posters on the wall, the same check duvet, a kid's room, a flashback to before this began. Then, before I know it, I'm on my knees, opening the bottom drawer in the chest, pulling out old T-shirts and vests to uncover under them a row of eggs, blown and bedded in their cotton wool nests. We had this thing, me, Taff and Hads, out by the bridge in Clifton. We dare each other to touch bits of rock, pushing each other further and further out beyond the railings, onto the open limestone cliffs, that bit there with the moss, that white patch, the outcrop, that kind of thing. One day, I thought I'd give them a scare, so I climbed further out past the dare, went right out of sight, slipping in beneath an overhang, then sitting tight as they shouted my name. Shitting themselves, I dropped and they'd never see me again. Stupid, really. Still don't know why, but I'm glad I did. Because it was only then that I noticed the bird, a peregrine, circling above me in the gorge, screeching a repeating cry. I looked to my right and I saw why, her nest, scrapped out of soil on the ledge, and inside, right in the middle, two perfect brown speckled eggs. Hads and Taff were still shouting for me, but I couldn't hear them no more. I edged along closer, and again, I don't know why, reached out and took one, still warm. And now, 3 years later, here it was again in my T-shirt drawer, the first of 12 eggs I collected that spring, heron, jackdaw, crow, lapwing. But the best was always hers, that peregrine's. I knew it was wrong even then. But I was 16 and wanted something just mine, a secret I shared with no one, and maybe that's why on that R&R I went straight back to them, because each one, though empty, was full with the feel of the day when I found it. The touch of the wind, the taste of the rain, each was a moment alone again, a stealing of an egg, and so much more. I put my hand into the drawer, picked up the herons, a pale sky blue, barely there on my palm, smooth and cool. I closed my eyes and tried to see that day again. It was March. I was bunking off from school, a breeze in the reeds, the water over my boots. A stupid thing to do. To think I could get away so easily, no chance. As soon as my eyes were shut, I saw them instead. Those two Yanks, the ones who said they'd take our place, who drove on ahead to the front of the convoy, then round a corner where... By the time we got there, their Humvee was a ball of flame burning in the middle of the street. I saw them climb out, both on fire. They ran, who knows why, but they did. Two burning guys, puppets of flame. The first, blinded, ran straight into a wall, tried to stub himself out, then fell. The other carried on running down the street 10-20 feet before dropping to his knees. He held his arms out for a moment, a flaming cross, then tipped forward onto his face and died. I opened my eyes, sweat on my wrists. I was back in my childhood room, footy posters on the wall, my opened palm closed into a fist, the pale blue shards of the heron's egg scattered inside the drawer like the last remains of a broken promise.